Chapter 15, I Land in Nice. As I had mentioned before, by the time I was ready to leave Innsbruck, I couldn't get out of there fast enough, and I remember practically running to the train station. I mean, nothing against Innsbruck. I love Innsbruck. But Brad being Brad got his little old tit caught in the ringer female-wise, and so he just had to get the hell out of Dodge. And since it was November and freezing cold in Innsbruck, I was looking for a warmer climate. And I found myself on a train headed south with no particular destination in mind, just somewhere warmer, and that's as detailed a plan as I could come up with under the circumstances. Anyway, I'm on that train headed south with a ticket to somewhere in Spain, but ready to jump off as soon as the weather seemed warm enough. I mean, I was just playing it by ear, which would be my mindset for the next several years. I was just going with the flow, as they say. Anyway, after several hours of heading south, I met a very good-looking French guy who was totally cool and totally handsome, and we got to talking, and he asked me where I was going, and I told him that my goal was to get to a warmer climate, and we started telling each other about ourselves, getting to know each other a bit, and he mentioned to me that he worked as a model in Nice, and I told him that I was modeling in Chicago, and then he says, hey, why don't you get off the train with me in Nice, and I'll introduce you to my model agency, and I said, sounds good to me. And when we pulled into Nice, he got off, and so did I. It was around 1 in the afternoon, and we walked over to his model agency, which was called Privilege Models. I still remember that. And he introduced me. They said they liked my look. They liked my look, and voila, they signed me. It's funny in that none of this was planned. I was just going with the flow, and I'm certain that that sort of attitude is exactly what allowed all of the magic to happen. Nice, France is one of the most beautiful places on planet Earth. And it will be a part of me until the day I die. You can take the man out of Nice, but you can't take Nice out of the man. So anyway, not knowing anything about planet Earth prior to leaving Chicago, all of a sudden I was living on the French Riviera and loving every single second of it. Go figure. After I got signed by the agency, the next order of business was to find a place to live. So I walked around fabulous Nice, and I came across this little hotel, and I rented a small, charming room for all of 70 francs, or $7 a day. And the reason that it was so cheap is that at the time, the exchange rate was very favorable to the dollar holders, as the French franc was 10 to the dollar. The room didn't have its own toilet, but there is what is known, what is referred to in Europe as a WC, a water closet, or toilet on each floor. So no problem whatsoever if that's what made the room so cheap. By the way, that little $7 room was so charming and cozy that I could have stayed there forever. The French have a way of making even a tiny little room like that charming and livable. The French are true artists. I mean, even the language is lovely. There was plenty of modeling and acting work in Nice, so as soon as I got settled in, I started getting booked for modeling jobs right away. Since Nice has great weather year-round and such a beautiful backdrop, companies from all over Europe go down to Nice in winter to shoot their productions. And in fact, I returned to Nice one time after living in Paris for a while and was hired as an extra in the Prince movie, Under the Cherry Moon, that was shot in Nice in 1986. And I also got an extra role in a Love Boat episode that was shot down there as well, if I'm not mistaken. At least that's what I remember. I loved the work, I loved the place, I loved the people, and I loved the language. I loved the food, I loved their style, and I loved life. Vive la France! I absolutely loved living in Nice. I mean, if you're lucky enough to ever live there and you don't like it, methinks you got a problem. I was one happy camper being a resident there. The word spectacular comes to mind. It's spectacular. What can I say? Hell, there's a reason that people from all over the world go to Nice, and that's because it's so off the charts, special, and one of a kind. Plus, just being in another country was a thrill in and of itself. I would actually end up moving from country to country just for the thrill that it gave me to all of a sudden be in such a new and different environment. It actually became my drug of choice for the next several years, as it kept me so fascinated and gave me sort of a high or cheap thrill, if you will. That and sex in every port, that is. And what would paradise be without a sexy local girl to enjoy it with? Well, I sure as hell took care of that little problem in a hurry when I met a real sexy French girl who was a model with the same agency, and we fell in love and moved in together in a room in an area called Vieux Nice, which translates to Old Nice. Vieux Nice was really the place to live if you're going to live in Nice. Her name was Anne Francoise, and she was from a nearby town called Saint-Raphaël. we got this charming little room in this charming part of Nice. And I remember we would wake up in the morning and she would look at me and say in her beautiful sing-songy French voice, faire amour avec moi, faire amour avec moi, which translates to make love with me. And of course, I was only too happy to accommodate. And I don't write that for effect, by the way. That's exactly what this cute, sexy 18-year-old French girl said to me just about every morning. She was 18, she was pretty, she was French, and best of all, she turned me on. I was in love with her. I was in love with France, and I was in love with life. And just to think, if I hadn't gone into that branch manager's office that day in Chicago to quit my job, or to that travel agency with the Ski Innsbruck brochure on the desk, or quit drinking, none of this fairy tale would have happened. I've come to the conclusion that God's plan for me is way better than my own, and if I can just get the hell out of the way and let him run things, I'm way better off. I can still remember that hit song of the day back then was Careless Whisper by George Michael. Whenever I hear it, it reminds me of Anne Francoise and Nice. Your song meant and still means a whole lot to me, Mr. Michael, and may you rest in peace. I remember one night, Anne Francoise took me to her parents' house in San Rafael, not far from Nice, and we had dinner with her family, and that night was so French and so special, and I'll never forget it. The house itself was very old and very dark and had this incredible spiritual atmosphere. We all sat down at the dining room table, and the room was made of old wood and was dark and lit only by candles on the table. First, we ate the main entree, and it was typical French, and then it was so delicious. They make art out of everything, including their cooking. I don't care what hole in the wall you go to dine in France, it's always great, and I know that from experience. Anyway, after the entree, then the salad was served, which I learned that night is how they do it in France, a salad after the meal. And then finally, after finishing the salad, I figured dinner was over, but it wasn't. Once we were done with the salad, her father disappears into the kitchen and comes back with some fromage, or cheese, if you will, as a sort of dessert. So we eat this delicious chunk of cheese, and then her father disappears into the kitchen once again and returns with a different cheese, more special and older, and even more of a delicacy than the first one. So after we get done with that little delicacy, he goes into the kitchen yet again and comes back with the final cheese that looks very old and very special. And he explains to me that this last cheese has a history, and he tells me a story. Finally, we eat that last very old cheese, and dinner was finished. After that, we say our mercis and au revoir and head back to our cozy little room in Vieux Nice. The image on the next page is of me and Anne Francoise, shot in Nice in 1985. Merci bien, Anne Francoise, et je t'aime, et tu me manques. The other picture of me was shot in 1986 on location during the filming of the Prince movie, Under the Cherry Moon, for which I have been cast as an extra. The one thing that I remember about working that production is that I had bought an Instamatic camera with me. I had brought an Instamatic camera with me to the location, which was right on the Mediterranean Sea. And as all of us extras were sitting around in a sort of outdoor cafe waiting to be told what to do, I'm clicking away, you know, capturing the moment, when an assistant to Prince comes up to me and tells me that Prince doesn't allow cameras on the set and to please put it away. I must admit, it rubbed me the wrong way. And I still remember that little episode vividly, even after all these years. It felt like I was back in grade school again, and the teacher was telling me not to doodle while class is in session. You know, I never liked Prince after that, and to tell you the truth, I can't remember if they even used me that day because I looked at the movie on YouTube and I couldn't see myself. I have zero recollection of that day in Nice that I worked as an extra, except for that incident which felt like a scolding. Hey, do me a favor. Take a look at that movie Under the Cherry Moon and let me know if you see me at all. I mean, I know I had worked as an extra that day, but I just can't recall the production. I know that sounds weird, but it was over 35 years ago, and I guess it just didn't have an impact on me. Those last images, by the way, are of Nice, and I got them off the internet. End of chapter.